You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Monday, Rockets fans. Welcome to a new week, and thanks for kicking it off with me here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat this Monday, April 8th, it's an off day for the Rockets and the entire NBA. The spotlight will go to the NCAA and the men's basketball college, that is, national championship game between Texas Tech and Virginia tonight. And that sets the stage for a crazy final 2 days of the NBA season with so much influx regarding the playoff picture. A lot of these games, because Monday is an off night for the NBA entirely, are going to be on a back-to-back. Fortunately, not for the Rockets, who have just one game left Tuesday night in Oklahoma City. But as far as the rest of the league, that could be an interesting wrinkle to follow because in addition to just how the games look on paper, there are also some cumulative fatigue issues that come from playing back-to-backs, especially if it's split with a plane flight in between. Lots of storylines to get to, and that's what we're going to be breaking down on this Monday show. In our usual three-point style, we'll have three segments. We will eventually get to keys to the game, Rockets Thunder, that is, in the final segment, what Houston needs to do to win. And, of course, it's massive, as we laid out Sunday night after Houston's 149-113 win over Phoenix. That was the 20th in 23 games for the Rockets. It improves them to 53-28 on the year, currently in possession of the number three slot in the Western Conference with 28 losses, one game back in the loss column of Denver, and holding a tiebreaker. Nuggets have 27 losses, Rockets at 28. So if Houston can outplay Denver by a game over the Nuggets' final two, Houston gets the two seed. The flip side to it is that Portland, now at the four spot with 29 losses, just one more than Houston, while in a two-team tie, Portland has the tiebreaker over Houston. So it's very conceivable if Houston loses at Oklahoma City on the road and against a playoff opponent, that's definitely conceivable. Well, Portland could jump Houston and Houston could fall to number four. So really, as we enter the final 2 days of the season and final game for the Rockets, the number two seed, the number three seed, the number four seed, they're all on the table. We know the Rockets will have home court advantage in round one. That has been clinched. The playoffs will start in Houston on Saturday or Sunday. As far as what their seed is and also who they play, that's still up for grabs because we also don't know the number five, the number six, the number seven, the number eight seeds in the Western Conference. That is unknown at this time as well. So much chaos. So what I'm going to try and do on this show is basically provide a cheering guide for Rockets fans. What to watch for if you win at Oklahoma City. That's what we'll do here in segment one. And then what to watch for and hope for if you lose at Oklahoma City. What the scenarios are as you look around the association entering these final two games and what else the other games mean as far as the Rockets. Because we know the Rockets need to win at Oklahoma City. That goes without saying. But as far as if they win, what else needs to happen? Or if they lose, how can the Rockets survive and still get a top three seed potentially, or at least play an opponent in round one that you feel good about? That's what we're going to discuss on today's show. And then we'll finish up in the third segment again with some keys to the game, just general thoughts as far as what to look for when the Rockets and Thunder get together in Oklahoma City on Tuesday night. Segment one, we'll start with the scenario, the happy one of what if they win. And the good news right off the top, if Houston wins at Oklahoma City, you are guaranteed a top three seed. The Blazers have 29 losses. If Houston wins tomorrow at OKC, Houston finishes at 28 losses. There is nothing that Portland can do. You are locked into a top three seed, whether you are number three or number two. It depends on how Denver does. Denver finishes up at Utah and then home versus Minnesota. That's a split back to back. If they lose either or both of those games, you are the number two because Houston holds the tiebreaker over Denver. The only way Houston is the number three if they win at Oklahoma City is if Denver wins both of those games. So in my opinion, the number two is actually more likely than number three if you win because that's going to be a pretty difficult back-to-back for Denver. the second half of it, Minnesota has not quit. That's not a gimme game, even though they'll be favored. And on the front side of it, Denver and Utah on the road. I know the Jazz lost to the Lakers Sunday night, but generally Utah's been playing some pretty good ball, and they need to win that game to secure a top five seed and keep any hope alive of moving up to number four and home court advantage in round one. Now, you never know exactly how hard they are going to focus. Every team has their own pathways. For example, Denver definitely made their odds with number two worse just for the hope of maybe pushing Houston down to four and out of their bracket. So we'll have to see how Utah handles that particular game. But on paper, they need to win it, especially because now that Oklahoma City is within a couple of games of Utah and has the tiebreaker, Utah needs to win to avoid falling to number six. Now, who knows? You could argue that, well, if they fall to number six and they get out of the Houston and Golden State bracket, maybe they want to fall. I personally don't really buy that scenario because, number one, Utah's actually played Golden State pretty well over the years. And secondly, it would require a lot of luck anyway, Oklahoma City winning both of their games in order for Utah to fall, even if they wanted to. And at that point, Utah would be entering the playoffs on a three-game losing streak. That seems not particularly efficient in terms of getting your best form once the playoffs begin next weekend. So my guess is that Utah will want to win that game, especially considering they will not know the results of Portland, LA, and Houston, Oklahoma City, games that tip off later than Denver and Utah on Tuesday night. So if Houston wins, cheer for Utah. And if the Jazz win that game over the Nuggets, then Houston is your number two seed. That is locked. Houston can clinch the number two with a win and a Denver loss Tuesday night. And then from that point forward, it's a matter of who you play. Because whether you're the number two, you're the number three, you're either going to be playing the number seven seed or the number six. And the interesting thing, so as we chat this Monday, Houston can potentially face four teams in round one. Really anyone in that 5-8 mix. Utah, the Spurs, the Thunder, the Clippers. Well, if Houston beats Oklahoma City, that clinches a top five seed for Utah. They cannot fall to six if Oklahoma City loses another game, which they would if Houston wins. So at that point, your possibilities would be narrowed to the Clippers, the Thunder, and the Spurs. And the encouraging thing to me about that, I know Oklahoma City is number six right now, but if they lose to Houston tomorrow, it becomes very likely, in my opinion, that the dream scenario of Oklahoma City at eight against Golden State and the Clippers at seven against Houston, it is very likely, in my opinion, that that becomes the end reality. Because here's the deal. Once Utah clinches the number five, which they would do either with Houston beating Oklahoma City, which is the scenario we're talking about, or if they beat Denver themselves on Tuesday night, and perhaps both happen, there is no reason for Utah to play hard in their finale at LA on Wednesday night, the Clippers, that is. It's second night of a split back-to-back. Utah would be locked into their playoff seeding. There would be no reason for them to treat that game seriously. So at that point, assuming they rest players, and beyond just the standings, it's second night of a split back-to-back, you would have to think that that's a game in which the Clippers would be favored because the Clippers would be playing for the right to avoid the eight seed and not have the certain death of playing the Golden State Warriors, the two-time defending champions, in round one. So if the Clippers at home beat the Jazz, the Clippers would be entering on 2 days rest, the Jazz on night two of a split back-to-back. So if the Clippers were to beat Utah in that game on Wednesday night and the Spurs beat Dallas, which seems a formality, then San Antonio, the Clippers, and the Thunder would all be at 34 losses. In a three-way tie, it would be Spurs at six, Clippers at seven, and Thunder at eight. Because in a three-way tie, it's not conference record. It is the record between the three teams in the tie, San Antonio first, Clippers second, OKC third. So to me, that's the real dream scenario. If Houston wins at OKC on Tuesday night, then in my opinion, considering there's no real reason to think the Jazz would be playing hard against the Clippers on night two of a road back-to-back on Wednesday, as long as the Clippers win that game, and as long as the Spurs win against Dallas, I believe that's in San Antonio as well, and they're incentivized, again, no one wants to fall to the eight and potentially have to face the Warriors, then at that point, you've got the three-way tie, and you've got the best of all worlds. You've got Oklahoma City against Golden State in round one. They have to work. And in all likelihood, in my opinion, Houston is the two playing the seventh-seeded Clippers. If Denver finishes 2-0, which is not implausible, if they do, then Houston would be the three, and you'd be playing the sixth-seeded San Antonio Spurs, which I'd still prefer the Clippers, but I think the Spurs are a fairly friendly matchup as well. So that's why, boy, if Houston wins, they are set up really, really well, in my opinion, not just as far as guaranteeing a top three seed and possibly a top two, because once Houston wins, Portland's out of the picture. It's just Houston and Denver would have to win out to prevent Houston from getting the number two. So beyond just that, though, there's also the angle of the bottom of the West and the fact that if Oklahoma City loses one more game, they are in deep trouble as far as avoiding the eight spot. So if Houston can get that and give both themselves a win and OKC loss at the same time, yeah, that sets up really, really well. With that said, Oklahoma City at home, they're going to be a daunting opponent. Russell Westbrook, Paul George, it's definitely a game that you could lose. What happens in that scenario? We'll discuss that on the other side. Now, as we continue our way through Monday's effective playoff preview show, the final 2 days of the regular season, all these playoff scenarios, as far as the Rockets, currently the number three seed at 53-28, a game behind Denver in the loss column for the number two, a game ahead of Portland in the loss column for the number four, Houston holding the tiebreaker over Denver, but losing the tiebreaker in two-team scenarios against Portland. We spent segment one largely discussing what happens if Houston wins against Oklahoma City. And for a Rockets team that's won 20 of their last 23 games, there's lots of reasons for optimism. I think that could happen. With that said, it is tough even for really good teams to win on the road against playoff opponents, which the Oklahoma City Thunder are. So we definitely need to be aware of the possibility that even if Houston plays well, what if OKC just plays better? They have beaten the Rockets two of three times this season. They do have two legitimate stars in Paul George and Russell Westbrook. So while I think the Rockets should be slight favorites in the game, it would not be stunning if OKC were to win. And in that scenario, what does it mean? Immediately, it would mean nothing. Because in and of itself, a Houston loss at Oklahoma City does not take anything off the table. Houston could actually still be the number two seed with a loss at OKC if Denver were to lose both of its final two games at Utah and then home versus Minnesota. Regardless of what Portland does, because if all three teams have 29 losses, then it's a three-way tie and Houston wins that between the Rockets, Nuggets, and Blazers, because the first tiebreaker is to sort out the division winner between the Nuggets and Blazers, and the Nuggets win that, and then the head-to-head between Houston and Denver is applied. So Houston could actually still be the two seed even with a loss. I think it's unlikely because Denver at Utah, home versus Minnesota, the odds are they get one of those games. But if they don't, and the Nuggets have not been in peak form of late, they did lose at home to the Washington Wizards last week, then the Rockets could still be fine and get the two seed and potentially still play the seventh seeded Clippers, even in a loss scenario. So I think that's the optimal is hope Denver goes 0-2 if Houston loses. Now, if Denver goes 1-1 or 2-0, then Denver clinches the two seed because Houston would not be able in that scenario to match Denver's 28 losses. If Houston loses at Oklahoma City, they have 29. And then at that point, it hinges on the Portland Trailblazers who finish up at the Lakers and home against the Sacramento Kings. And the Blazers are going to be favored in both of those games, but I don't think either are gimmies. The Kings are the type of team, they won at San Antonio last week. There's a lot of young talent. They don't fit the tanking description. They're trying to win games. So they're kind of dangerous. There is talent there. De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley. We've seen that of late when the Rockets have faced the Kings and they were within one with under 6 minutes to go last weekend in Houston. But also that Laker game. Part of the reason the Western Conference playoff picture is in such a state of chaos right now, the Lakers have won two straight games against the Clippers and the Jazz. Somehow the Alex Caruso experience is a real thing. So the Blazers at the Lakers in a home finale for the Lakers on Tuesday night, I don't think that's a given. Keep in mind, the Blazers, without Yusuf Nurkic, CJ McCollum on a minutes restriction, trying to work him back in coming off a knee injury, the Blazers almost lost to the Nuggets on Sunday night. And that was a Denver team that sat Nikola Jokic, Paul Millsap, Jamal Murray, and was basically trying to lose. They were down 7 with just over 4 minutes to go. They almost lost it. So while Portland would be favored over the Kings and the Lakers, I don't think, especially on the road against the Lakers, that it's anything near 100%. I think it's definitely possible that Portland loses one of those games, and then if they do, then you're either the number three or even the number two if Denver goes 0-2. Either way, you are a top three seed. If both Denver and Portland handle their business, and Portland goes 2-0 against the Kings and the Lakers, then yeah, you do fall to the fourth seed. And at that point, you are locked in to either playing Utah or Oklahoma City. You're most likely going to play the Jazz. One of the playoff sites, as far as predictions that I go to, playoffstatus.com, actually had the Jazz at 94% as the 5 seed this morning. The only way they wouldn't be is if the Jazz lost out and the Thunder won out. So while technically you could play Oklahoma City in the 5 spot, it's unlikely, and that's the only team that can catch Utah from behind. Technically, it's possible that the Jazz could pass the Blazers for the number 4, but if that happens by virtue of the Blazers losing, then Houston is a top 3, and that's irrelevant. In the worst-case scenario where Houston falls to number 4, that's the lowest they could possibly fall and ends up on the Golden State side of the playoff bracket rather than Denver, Utah is the overwhelmingly likely round 1 opponent. That said, let's look at the other scenarios if Houston were to lose at OKC, because it's very possible that Houston could lose at the Thunder and, as stated earlier, still end up in the number 2 or the number 3 spot, depending on how Denver and Portland finish their seasons. In that scenario, the 6 or the 7, again, if you're the number 3, you'd face the number 6. If you're the number 2, you'd face the number 7. The biggest game to watch is actually Oklahoma City at Milwaukee on Wednesday night. And this game also has implications for the other storyline with the Rockets, which is who do the Warriors play in round 1? Can you tax them? And even in this scenario where the Thunder beat the Rockets, Oklahoma City is still in a lot of danger. On paper, and the models are having a tough time figuring it out, that's a game, OKC at Milwaukee, that the Thunder should be a pretty substantial underdog. The hard thing to measure is how much the Bucks will care about that game. Will they play their regulars? They've clinched the number 1 seed out east. How much will Giannis play? Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, their stars? It's hard to gauge. I personally would not be surprised if most of their regulars play. Now, it might be 25 minutes rather than 35, but the reason I think they'll play, they're at home, and they don't play again until Saturday or Sunday. So, considering they're home, they're rested, and their 81st game was on Sunday, you'd be potentially going an entire week without your regulars playing basketball. So, unless there's an active injury situation with one of those players, my guess is that at least for 20, 25 minutes at home, the Bucks will take that game semi-seriously, because I don't think anyone wants to go over a week without basketball and risk falling out of rhythm. That said, until we get there, we don't know how seriously they're going to take the game, and that makes it so hard to predict. That said, if OKC were to lose at Milwaukee, even after beating Houston, that would drop them to 34 losses. Assuming the Clippers beat the Jazz, and again, with any Oklahoma City loss, the Jazz are locked into a top 5 seed, and the Jazz will know the OKC result by the time their late game tips off against the Clippers on Wednesday night. Assuming the Jazz lose that game and they would have no incentive, the Clippers would be playing to avoid the 8 seed and certain death against the Warriors, then even if Oklahoma City beats Houston, then you still have the same scenario we talked about if OKC loses to the Rockets. A 3-way tie between the Spurs, the Clippers, and the Thunder, and no matter what the conference record situation is, the tiebreaker is record against the 3 teams in the tie, and that goes Spurs at 6, Clippers at 7, and Thunder at 8. So even if Oklahoma City beats the Rockets on Tuesday, it is still very possible, they are still very much in danger of falling to the 8 and having to play Golden State, and of course the Rockets getting the benefit of a Warriors-Thunder series as a bystander if Oklahoma City loses at Milwaukee. So to me, that is clearly the big game, because if Milwaukee wins that, then you go back to the same 5-8 lineup as if the Rockets had won in Oklahoma City with Utah, the Spurs, the Clippers, and the Thunder in that order. And if Houston is number 2 and number 3, depending on what happens with Denver and Portland's games, then, of course, you'd likely be looking at either the Spurs or the Clippers, the same scenario as if you win. However, if the Thunder went out, they both beat the Rockets, and then they win against a less than interested Milwaukee team on the road. The Thunder cannot fall below the sixth seed because they, at 33 losses, are ahead by a game in the loss column relative to the Spurs and the Clippers, who now have 34. So in this scenario where we're assuming the Thunder beat the Rockets, if they win at Milwaukee, they are guaranteed a top six seed, probably number six. And so if you're the Rockets, you're looking at, assuming Portland handles their business, being the number four seed, most likely playing Utah in round one. And then if Portland stubs their toe, then the Rockets would get a top three seed and be on the Denver side of the bracket. But you'd be looking at a six-seeded Oklahoma City if they handle their business in Milwaukee. So to me, that's what to watch for. And, you know, a lot of it will be determined by what happens between the Rockets and Thunder. The ideal situation, Rockets take care of business. They get a two or the three. They're on the Denver side of the bracket. And based on Denver's controversial strategy to try to push the Rockets down to four, well, if Denver loses one more game in a back-to-back split at Utah home versus Minnesota, it's definitely possible. Not only could the Rockets be on the Nuggets side of the bracket, but Houston could actually be the number two and have home court in the second round as well. The flip side, if the Denver strategy works out, then you got to wait to see what happens with the Nuggets, the Blazers, their final three games, the Nuggets and Blazers each have two remaining, Blazers, Lakers, and Kings, Nuggets, Jazz, and Wolves. One slight advantage, because it's a split back-to-back for both of those teams, there are going to be some tired legs. So even if on paper you say, well, the Nuggets and the Blazers should be better than who they're playing, well, maybe there are certain other factors that make it a bit more difficult than it looks on paper, such as the split back-to-back, the travel. You know, the Blazers have been beaten up, a lot of injuries of late, et cetera, et cetera. To me, though, in this scenario, as we close out segment two, if the Rockets lose at Oklahoma City, the pivotal games, besides the obvious, certainly the Nuggets and Blazers, you can still end up with a top three, even a top two seed with a loss if you get the right results with the Nuggets and Blazers losing. Besides that, though, the big game to watch is OKC at Milwaukee. How seriously do the Bucks take that game? If they take it seriously, and given the high likelihood that the Spurs against the Mavs and the Clippers against the Jazz will have virtual layup games on Wednesday night, then the odds are the Thunder at 34 losses, that would make them the 8 seed, the same way as if you were to beat them. And then at that point, you have the same 5-8 order, which is Jazz, Spurs, Clippers, and Thunder, 5-8 respectively. So to me, the biggest variable is whether Oklahoma City loses a game. If they do, then it would be very difficult, if not impossible, for them to play the Rockets. And it would also be very difficult for them not to play the Warriors. So basically, OKC at home against Houston, and then OKC on the road at Milwaukee. It's a split back-to-back, so maybe some of the mileage factors apply to them as well. Hopefully the Rockets can handle OKC and give them the loss themselves. But even if they can't, then there's still the opportunity that Milwaukee can. Either way, the key variable, does Oklahoma City lose a game? If they do, then in my opinion, the odds are pretty high that the playoff bracket is going to go to Houston's liking. And remember, to get this show every day, subscribe to Locked On Rockets on the new Himalaya podcast app. In this ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features each and every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Rockets. Now, as we close out Monday's show, we spent most of the first two segments discussing all the playoff scenarios, the games to watch around the league, depending on if the Rockets win at Oklahoma City or lose. And in both of those scenarios, it comes back to one factor. Does Oklahoma City lose a game? Of course, they play the Rockets on Tuesday night, and then they're at Milwaukee on Wednesday night. If they do, I think the odds are pretty good that the playoff bracket is something that Rockets fans can live with, because the odds are they're probably playing the Warriors in that scenario, and worst case, Houston has a 4-5 with the Jazz, but I think it's more likely than not, especially if they win, of course, and clinch a top three seed, that you're the number two or the number three and in a really good spot. No matter what, Houston will open up the playoffs at home with home court advantage in round one, but if they can take care of business at Oklahoma City, that's the best of all worlds, because you come close to locking in a Thunder-Warriors series, and of course you guarantee yourself a top three seed, and in my opinion, if you win, more likely than not, a number two seed, which means home court advantage in both the first and second rounds, assuming you advance. So, how do the Rockets win this game? I don't think there's going to be anything particularly shocking when these two teams play, because they know each other very, very well. The Thunder have won two of the three matchups this season. Their length, their physicality is a tough matchup for a Rockets team that's a little bit undersized. Now, granted, all three of the matchups came before this recent stretch in which the Rockets are 20-3. Also, the Thunder over the second half of the season are below 500 since the All-Star break. So clearly, Houston is the hot team. They have more momentum. And those three matchups, Houston losing two of them, I don't think they're indicative of the state of either team right now. However, I do think that even though the Rockets are the hotter team, there are definitely some matchup advantages that still go Oklahoma City's way. And in a situation where they're at home, they're rested, and they are fully incentivized because they want to avoid the 8 seed and the certain death of playing the Warriors in round one in all likelihood, well, they need to win this basketball game. So they are going to be giving it all they have. They're at home. It's one of the more intimidating environments in the NBA. So it's not a given for the Rockets. Bottom line, for the Rockets to get where they want to go, the far and away easiest scenario to get them the advantage playoff bracket, to give them the best chance to win a ring, is to win this season finale at Oklahoma City on Tuesday night, late start, 8:30 on TNT. As far as how they do that, there are three keys that I see. The biggest one is simply that James Harden and Chris Paul need to be stars. I know that sounds obvious, but let me explain what I mean. In this recent week where the Rockets have had so many of these blowouts, especially the weekend ones, the Knicks, the Suns, these bad teams, James Harden had 16 points midway through the third quarter on Sunday, and yet the Rockets were up by like 35 on the Suns because Eric Gordon with a career best tying, 8 made threes, Clint Capela had 22 and 13. They were doing the heavy lifting. The Suns were so terrified of Harden, they were trapping him in half court. The Rockets had 4 on threes with CP, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, and Clint Capela, and the game was easy. And the lobs to Capela, the open threes for the shooters, it was a very simple game plan. I don't think that's going to be the case against Oklahoma City. With the length they have, Steven Adams, Jeremy Grant inside, Markieff Morris off the bench, the lob game to Clint Capela, while not a non-factor, it's not going to be as easy. And with Paul George able to defend James Harden, you're not going to help as much as a lot of other teams do. And sure, the Rockets will hunt out switches and try to get Harden on Steven Adams and Jeremy Grant at times, but those are fairly athletic and physical bigs. It's not like Harden against Enes Kanter, where it's going to collapse the defense automatically. Adams and Grant, they can at least semi-hold their own on these switches. So no matter what it is, if it's PG on Harden, of course, he's one of the better one-on-one defenders in the league. When he's healthy, the shoulder has seemed a bit better of late for Paul George. And then even if Harden gets the switch, it's not like it's just an automatic bucket, especially with their length. And even if the Thunder do feel like they need to help, there's so much collective length up and down that roster that it's doubtful that Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker are going to get quite the same wide open threes that they have gotten over the past week. So to me, this is a game when you consider those factors that you're not going to have the easy lobs, the wide open threes based on their length, the fact they don't have to commit quite as many team resources to Harden. You don't have to do anything gimmicky or crazy like the Suns trapping at half court. While I don't think the Rockets, I'm not going to say that role players hitting threes is irrelevant. Certainly they need to hit some of them. At the same time, I don't expect them to shoot quite the same volume of threes or make the same amount because it's not going to be as consistently easy of looks as they have gotten over the past week. This is a game where, in my opinion, James Harden and Chris Paul, they are going to need to make plays one-on-one, hopefully at a better rate than Russell Westbrook and Paul George. The Rockets, it's strange to say, but I actually feel a little bit better about them defensively entering the game than offense. Defensively, I know that's been hit or miss over the season, but the Rockets have been top two, top three since the All-Star break. And in this particular matchup, PJ Tucker on Paul George, Austin Rivers and Daniel House off the bench, spending a lot of time on Russell Westbrook. I think we know what Houston wants to do against these guys. And of course, hopefully you can bait Russell Westbrook into stealing a few shots, hopefully very inefficient ones from the 20-foot range from Paul George. I think the Rockets know what they want to do defensively. I think it's the offensive end of the floor with the length for the Thunder, the physicality, the rebounding, which has been a weakness for Houston all season long, and the Thunder at home especially, you have to think that they have an advantage there. It's can Houston put up enough points in this matchup? That's my biggest concern. And so I think maybe Eric Gordon's been above 45% from three since the start of March. Maybe he's hot and it doesn't matter how open he is. But my suspicion is that he's not going to be as hot because he's not going to get as many wide open looks as he's been getting over the past week. And it's just going to come down to whether James Harden and Chris Paul in one-on-one situations can make enough plays. And Harden in particular, this is probably a game, a matchup on the road where he needs to score 40. The MVP needs to be the MVP. All season long, that's what he's done. Can he step up? Personally, I think he can, and it may help that he's gotten to rest a bit. He hasn't even been playing 30 minutes a game the last week with all the blowouts, and even when he has played, a lot of his teammates, as mentioned, have been doing the heavy lifting, so he should be fresh, and the Rockets won't play again until Saturday or Sunday in the playoffs, so they can leave it all on the floor. They can empty the tank because they'll have several days to get ready after that. In my opinion, though, just the matchups, it's going to come down to one-on-one play. Can James Harden and Chris Paul be the stars that they are paid to be and outshine Russell Westbrook and Paul George? To me, that's the biggest storyline. A couple of other things to watch, though, as far as defending PG and Russ. I discussed this earlier, but off the bench, Austin Rivers and Daniel House, it's a big game for them. I think Rivers in particular, his quick twitch ability, that makes him by far the best one-on-one defender against Russell Westbrook. They're going to need that in this game. With Daniel House, he has a little bit of that ability, but where I think you're really going to need House in this game is for his length at the wing spot. We touched on rebounding earlier. Sure, you need House as a perimeter defender, even though Paul George, I think the majority will be picked up by PJ Tucker. You'll probably, when PJ needs a blow, have to use House to defend PG a bit. But more than just one-on-one defense, where I think House is really useful in this game could be as a springy rebounder. Because the Rockets, they're undersized. PJ Tucker, 6'6", starting power forward, and he's going to be spending more time than ever on the perimeter in this game, picking up Paul George, in my opinion. You start with Eric Gordon at the three. Of course, he is undersized. Iman Shumpert, he could play a role, but he's just 6'5". Generally speaking, against a tough and physical Oklahoma City team with Paul George, with Jeremy Grant, with Steven Adams on that front line, Markieff Morris off the bench, you're going to be undersized. And even though you do need Clint Capella to have a big game against Steven Adams, more on that momentarily. Worst case, though, I do think that Steven Adams can neutralize Clint Capella. Maybe he outplays him a little bit, but Steven Adams, I don't think, is going to just get bullied and severely outplayed by Clint. So if there's kind of a net neutral effect there, maybe Capella can keep you level, but he's not going to offset your height deficiencies elsewhere. So to me, that's where you need House at 6'7" and springy to help out against the guys like Markieff Morris, like Paul George, like Jeremy Grant that are so long. If Clint Capella and Steven Adams are boxing each other out, then the Rockets are going to need gang rebounding elsewhere. Now, of course, James Harden and Chris Paul, they can chip in. Harden had 13 in just 29 minutes on Sunday. So if your guards rebound, that helps a lot. But I also think at the wing spots, you may need just more height, more springiness. And so that's where, to me, Daniel House has a key role. I think it's obvious with Austin Rivers, and he's the only guy that really matches up well with Russell Westbrook. Beyond that, I also think it's sneaky important for Daniel House off the bench, because I sense that this may be a game where you need to be a little bit more athletic, a little longer, a little springier, and that's where he could have a key role, considering the Rockets start with a much smaller than average NBA lineup. This could be a game where House needs to play 25 or 30 minutes and also shoot relatively well to stay on the floor and the Rockets to win that game. And of course, with the Thunder as long as they are, House's ability on the offensive end to attack the closeouts, talk about Oklahoma City having the length to still contest on the threes, well, House is the one guy that can fake the three and then has the athleticism to drive inside and finish at the rim. That could be important as well. So I could see this being a big game from a Daniel House Jr. standpoint. Final key to the game, I mentioned his name earlier, but Clint Capella. 2 years ago, when these two teams played in the playoffs, he was bullied by Steven Adams, and it took Nene having throwback Nene games for the Rockets to win that series in five games. If not for Nene, I think it goes down to the wire, and the Rockets might even lose. Now, Capella has gotten a ton better and more physical since then, including against Steven Adams. He has had some really good games one-on-one against Adams, including Christmas, the one Rockets-Thunder game this year that Houston won. With that said, that needs to continue because Nene, even if he does play, it seems pretty clear that he's limited to about 15 minutes. You are going to need Clint Capella to stand tall and hold his own against Steven Adams. I don't know if it's fair to expect him to significantly outplay him, but considering the length advantages that the Thunder have elsewhere, you need to at least have Capella hold Adams level as far as the rebounding, the rim protection, to at least give the guys like Daniel House, James Harden a chance to compete on the glass. If Adams is severely out rebounding and out physicaling, I know that's not a word, but let's run with it. You know what I mean. If he's outplaying Capella to that extent, and then you factor in the length and physicality of the rest of the Thunder roster compared to the Rockets, it's hard to see how Houston wins the game. So Clint needs to stand tall. And I also think he needs to finish, because it's going to be a game, as mentioned, because of the length of OKC. It's going to be tougher to have just the limitless lobs from Harden and CP to Capella that we have seen over the past week as the Rockets have faced some overmatched opponents. You're going to need to have some games or some plays in this game where Capella gets an offensive board and puts it back up and in traffic. It's not a lob. He just has to be more physical and then finish at the rim. Of course, he needs to stay out of foul trouble, but generally that's been something he's been very good at all season long. I don't worry too much. He's a very smart defender. He needs to stay on the floor. That goes without saying. Beyond that, though, I think it can't just be only about the rebounding and then, oh, he'll score on the lob. It's not going to be that easy. No, the Rockets are going to go through some lulls in this game because of how well Oklahoma City can defend. They're a tough matchup for Houston. And to make sure those lulls don't drag on, you're going to need to get some easy points, some putbacks, some shots right at the rim so that even if you go through a 3-4 minute stretch where your threes aren't falling, you don't let the Thunder run off on a 12-0, a 15-0 type run because you can't throw it in the ocean. So to me, that's the third key. Start with Harden and Paul, then Rivers and House. They have a big role off the bench. And then third and final, Clint Capella against Steven Adams. I don't know that he has to win the matchup, but he at least needs to be competitive. On the road, in that environment, of course, it's tougher for role players to make their shots on the road. That's another variable to consider. To me, this is a game where Capella needs to earn his paycheck and show us how far he has come. It would only be fitting 2 years ago. This was the setting in round one where he struggled so much. This is a perfect opportunity against that same team and that same opposing big in Steven Adams to show the world just how far Clint Capella has come. And in the process, of course, he can help the Rockets lock up a top three seed and hopefully even a top two seed. Will it happen? Stay tuned. So with that, I will wrap up our Monday show previewing everything Rockets Thunder, both what to watch for around the league in the event the Rockets win or lose the game, and also keys to the game, what Houston needs to do to win this mammoth showdown on Tuesday night. Our next episode will come following that game, but if you want more content before then, the best place to interact and talk Rockets before and during the game is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked on Rockets. Also got a Facebook account at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, an email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All of those ways that you can interact, ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, pretty much anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan, or even you, the human being, don't hesitate to reach out and let me know. Also, if you want to check out our past episodes, we've had a lot of shows of late, given the high stakes of this final week of the 2018-2019 regular season. You can find our archives in a lot of places, LockedOnRockets.com. Beyond that, though, you can listen and subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya Podcast app, as well as Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, and more. And when you get in your car, you can even tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Rockets. So with those plugs out of the way, this is where we'll leave off. Again, Rockets Thunder Tuesday night, 8:30 start. So much on the line. The Rockets can clinch a number two seed if they win and get a Denver loss. If that doesn't happen and they lose, then they could still potentially be the number two. They could also fall to the number three or the number four. And the likely scenario is that it drags on the Rockets' seeding into the final day of the regular season when Houston does not play, but so many other teams around the league, including those that they are in close competition with, do. Whatever happens, though, we'll be right here at Locked On Rockets to break it all down as your only home for daily podcast commentary on everything Houston Rockets basketball.